You want to have an effect on what's going on in the world around you? Tune in, Get Out the Vote, every day, 5 days a week on TAN Talk at 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock Tuesday to Friday and 6 o'clock on Monday. And hear some of the biggest...
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from TED Talk Radio Network studio here in glorious Clearwater, Florida. It is such a beautiful day. Wow, I am so happy. I have two wonderful guests today. At the bottom of the hour, I have Julie C. Dow, and she's written a book called Broken Wish. It's the first of four books in a series that's called The Mirror, and it's a fascinating idea, four different authors all writing on the same subject. And so this is the first book, and I'm going to be talking to Julie at the bottom of the hour. A very nice book cover. I'm holding it up to the camera. Very nice. But right now, I get to turn to a book that really is so fascinating, and one that I've just enjoyed reading over the past few weeks since I got it early. I always love it. It's always so much fun to get things early. And I'm going to be talking to Tora Shea Pruden. Hi, Tora.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, well, it's so great to have you join me here on Joy on Paper to talk about Girls Can. Oh, boy, what a title. I love it. Smash stereotypes, defy expectations, and make history. Wow, what a title and what a book. And it's so nice that you could join me today to tell me about this Nat Geo book, because, you know, I love National Geographic. They are my go-to books all the time. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to start a whole big campaign that everybody, when you visit people at Thanksgiving, and I hope we can visit people this year at Thanksgiving, bring them a Nat Geo book, because a Nat Geo book lasts forever. Nobody ever wants to give them away.
That's a great campaign. That's actually, I might have to join you on that, because they would be great gifts. Who would want to give them away?
You never find them. You know, you find, in the old days when we could have garage sales, you'd find every other book, but no, you never find Nat Geo books because people just keep them. I mean, they last forever. They're so well done. The production values are the top of the line. The paper, the quality, the covers, everything. Well, you know, people still have those, the Nat Geo yellow books, you know, from 50 years ago. I have, as a matter of fact, I have my father's from 1954, I think was my oldest one. So, yeah. Oh, this must be so much fun that you get to talk about this book.
It really, really is. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for letting me talk about it.
Okay, so where do we start? Tell us what the idea was. I know that you guys are out there doing a big campaign to get this book out, and really this is a good time. Girls are, everybody's going like, what are you doing in this world? But this is a great time for girls to really say, yeah, we can do it.
Yeah, we really wanted to do something that would inspire girls and tell them, you know, you can go out there and you can achieve your dreams, and just get them off their feet and give them a list of heroes and people who have overcome hardships and people who've achieved such great things. And if you look through the book, you see just a list of women throughout history who've just done so much, and then you see modern people who've done so much, like Simone Biles, and then we've got some interviews with some amazing women today. So we just wanted to just give them like a huge helping of that, and that's what the book is. We got together and made a list.
Well, it is wonderful. And so when you say you got together, who all put this together?
It was me, Marissa, and Paige, Marissa Sebastian and Paige Keller. Those are my co-authors.
Wow. And so you had a big meeting. You said, we want to find some women. And you found some great ones. You know, the funny thing is I've actually been a businesswoman since I was 7 years old. I started my first business when I was seven. And so I love to see all of these women who, you know, did it and just went out and made a difference. So tell us which one were you individually? You sort of all edited each other, or you wrote like that?
Yes. So what we did was we started off with a list of different subjects. So from there, we added to the list. We had to figure out how many people were going to be in the book. And that list was so long. We just kept adding names that we thought might be in the book. And from there, that list, we just kept adding to it, and we had to kind of scratch off names. And in the process of scratching off names, we kept thinking, oh, what about this one? So the list kept growing. And in the midst of us trying to remove people, we kept adding people and taking people off. And it was so, so hard to finally get the list to where it needed to be. But because my co-authors and I worked so cohesively together, we were able to get it down to this book of names that we absolutely love. But it was a process. being able to say to ourselves, you know, even though we love this person is someone that, you know, we need to focus on just a little bit more. But we got it, and we're happy with the result.
it is beautiful, and it's such a wonderful and diverse collection of women doing all sorts of things and all sorts of backgrounds. And just it's and of course, being Nat Geo, you've got great great photography, and your writing is top notch. And it's just fun to. It's a kind of book that you might want to just pick up at any old page and see which you know one captures your interest on any given day. And that's why this kind of book is so ideal, I think, for people to bring as a gift, because you can sit there like on Thanksgiving afternoon and just everybody will find somebody in it that will just fascinate them. Like now, of course, many of them we know about, but I, for example, didn't know about the Indian American businesswoman Indra Nooyi. I found her story fascinating.
I'm so glad that you found out about her. She is someone that's really interesting. I too, in researching all of these women, I found out so many people that I was just like, wow. One of the people that I like, being Jamaican American myself, doing research, I found out more about Queen Nanny. She led a revolt for the Windward Maroons. Even though I knew my own history, I just found out even more about her story and her history, because you know folklore, but you don't know the exact history. So it was just so inspiring to be able to find out so much. So, and to be able to share that with young girls and even adult readers is so big for me. So I'm glad that we could share that with you too.
And of course, Nat Geo has photos from the past that are just, you know, just so fantastic, that fit right into the storyline. And they can put their fingers on every photo of everything, I think, right, in the world at this point. And it's just so nice to be able to look back. Like it, I thought the photograph of Maria Tallchief, the first Native American woman to become a prima ballerina, is so beautiful. Isn't that a beautiful?
It really is.
Oh, just takes your breath away. You just stop at that page and you look at it and you say, so beautiful. And of course, there were lots of, you know, difficulties they had to overcome.
That's so true. Well, National Geographic has always been known for their imagery and just being able to pull images. So I was not surprised there, but that photo, you're absolutely correct, was gorgeous, and I love her story as well. I I was absolutely taken away while writing that. So I'm very glad that you brought that. thank you for highlighting that.
Were there any that really surprised you, that came as a real surprise, that you didn't realize perhaps they had difficulties? Sometimes you look at people and you say, well, their life is so perfect, and it's hard to imagine that they had a difficult time to start.
Well, no, I don't. Because we're all women, I don't think that there were any that I was surprised by. I feel like I kind of expect everyone to have some challenges in their life. I feel like everyone is going to come face to face. Everyone has their own obstacles that they're going to have to overcome. I guess I expected it. I do think that there were some that I was just like, wow, I didn't know that they had this many. Like Castor Semenya, I was just like, how did she find so much to keep overcoming? And she's still currently trying to overcome. She's still currently trying to overcome battles with them trying to take away her titles and testing and telling her that her biological data isn't enough, and that she has to go through with more testing, and it's quite a lot that she has to go through, and I don't know how she has that resilience. So I don't know that I would have the the toughness that she has, but I'm aware that everyone has their own, even with privileges that they may have, everyone has some obstacles that they're going to face, especially being women.
One of the ones I really love is Katherine Johnson. Isn't her story so fascinating? Now that we're back, mm-hmm. back in the space race, and we're back, sending up our rockets and then our people. Finally, and I'm so happy that we have this active, and because it's so important, we have these talented, brilliant people, and she's certainly among them. And that she had this opportunity to be part of history, and that there are so many young women today. My own goddaughter is Kenesha. She's an engineer, and she's brilliant. Uh-huh. And it's just wonderful to see what young women can do and grab onto these careers that in the past people thought, well, women couldn't do. Although I've never been of that mind, because I don't know. Somehow, when I grew up, I was of the mind that I could do anything, which sometimes scared my mother. I said, I can do anything I want. But, it's important that we just encourage girls to see that you can do anything and you can get out there and be whatever you want to be. And I particularly, because I love science, I'm so thrilled when I see women in science.
Right. I love seeing women in STEM fields, but that is so true. When you're a child, especially, you want to encourage that. I remember being that age and someone asking me what I wanted to be, and I would name like five things. I want to be an astronaut and the president, and I the world is so big, and you want to be everything, and where does that go? If no one's encouraging it in you, and no one's telling you you can be anything, if there aren't books like this, if there aren't people pushing you towards those paths. And I mean, I did have a mom that was saying, yes, do anything, do all the things, and she was putting me in everything. I told her I wanted to do ballet, and she put me in ballet.
How'd that work out?
I got a little chunky, but
Nat Geo has that beautiful ballet book. Do you have that book, the National Geographic book called
Yes.
Ballet? Isn't that a wonderful book? I look on it,
yes,
and I say, oh my gosh, all those positions. Those positions.
Yes, I mean, I still remember the positions. I mean, I may go back to it, because I wish that someone had told me when I was that age that that weight isn't something that should deter you from ballet, but it was something that my ballet teacher said.
Yeah, you can go back, really. I went back to tap dancing. I hadn't tap danced for years and years, and I had... And I must say I was the senior person in the class. But what the heck? I said, why not? I love tap dancing. I'm gonna tap my you know, why not? And you can do it.
Listen, if you love it, go for it. If anything that inspires happiness in you, that makes you feel joy, that makes anything, do it. Go for it. And you know, that's what life is about. You're supposed to go after what makes you happy and what inspires you, that, and not let detractors, not let anybody that is trying to tell you that this isn't for you stand in your way. And there will be those people don't let them.
Well, you didn't get to go and interview any of these people. For you just wrote the stories. Did you get to talk to any of them?
No, we sent them questions and they sent back the interviews and we got to, we're happy that they were agreeable to be in the book, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, now, once all this pandemic-y thing is over, what Nat Geo has to do, they have to send you out on a book signing tour once you can do that and go around and actually meet so many of these wonderful people, because I'm sure they will be happy to meet you because you have put them in this book that will be just a wonderful thing. And this book is not just, you know, for children. This book is for every woman and men too. They look at it and they say, yeah, well, if All American Girls Professional Baseball League, my mother loved baseball and my mother loved to play baseball. So I look at that and I think, yeah, you know, you can do it. You can do all sorts of amazing things. I think you three have done just a fantastic job. And of course, working with all the people at National Geographic, it must have been fun. I sometimes wonder why. You know, that it's so much fun that it's really strange that you get paid for it because you're just having fun.
That is so sweet of you. And you know what? We did have so much fun making this book. And it really was a blast. And I, looking at the finished product and thinking about how much I really hope it inspires people, you're right. I can't believe it's something I got paid for, but...
But you're glad you did. Well, I mean, you know, when you read this story about Indra Nooyi, who is, you know, became the CEO of Pepsi Cola. I mean, what the heck? I mean, anything's possible in this world. Here she is, you know, comes to America and becomes the head of Pepsi. My goodness, it's amazing what you can accomplish in this world if you really try, right?
Right. Who thinks of something, of accomplishing something like that when you're small? You send your dreams out into the universe, and sometimes you don't think that wide, you don't, or that specific. It's amazing what so many of these women in this book have accomplished. It's so astonishing. And when I flip through, I'm just like, who? Me too. Let me put. Hopefully, me too.
Exactly.
One day, let me be put in one of these books.
Exactly. Well, tell everybody where the website for National Geographic is. What? Simply National Geographic.
Yes, and you can also go to National Geographic Kids. You can follow them, the Facebook page as well, at National Geographic. And there's a at National Geographic Kids. There's an Instagram page. and
I love the National Geographic. I mean, I think the kids page. I love the kids page. I like to go. I think I go to the kids page almost every day because I have given up on. I am not making myself all neurotic about the pandemic. So I need something always that sort of gets me thinking about something else. And if you go to that, people really should do an icon on their computer for the Nat Geo Kids, because you just click on it and there's always something interesting and something new that you have never heard about. And it's just all day long, you're thinking nice thoughts, I think.
Right. I mean, you do need positivity like that in your life, especially during times like these.
Exactly. Well, you certainly have given it. And I think that you have done such a beautiful job. And with that, I think with the enthusiasm and the joy of finding all these people, it shines through in the book. And I think you've done a great job. And I'm hoping I will love to have Paige on another time, and Marissa, who I understand, is her nickname Mars?
Yes, her nickname is Mars.
Oh, I've always wanted to talk to somebody whose name was Mars. So Marissa Sebastian, Paige Towler, Towlers? Yep. And yes, yeah, of course, Towler. You are Tora Shay Pruden, and you yes. are just wonderful, I think, and you have a delightful laugh, and I want to thank you so much for being here today. And this book is available. It's called Girls Can Smash Stereotypes, Defy Expectations, and Make History. It's available wherever books are sold, or go straight to the National Geographic Kids site and order it and get it today. Get one for yourself because you will want to keep it, and then get one to take to somebody on Thanksgiving Day. Okay? Okay. Well, thank you again so much for being here today, Tora.
All right. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay. You take care of yourself down out there and have fun. I hope they give you another great assignment like this. Okay?
All right. Have a great Thanksgiving. Exchanging books.
Okay.
Bye now.
I'll be thinking about you. Thank you, Tora. Bye-bye now. Okay. What a book. All right. Big Ed, take it away. We're going to have a commercial. Then we're coming back, and I have another girl to talk to. Actually, she's a girl.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome back. And in a few minutes, I'm going to be talking to Julie Dow. Is she on the phone yet, Ed? No, she's going to be, and I get to say hi to Ed. Hi, Ed, how are you doing?
Doing very well, how are you?
Okay, well, I'm fine, and thank you so much for all this wonderful cleaning up that you do between every program. So I'm just waiting for Julie to call in, and then once we get her, I will talk about this fascinating book. What an idea. But meanwhile, I want to tell you, please go to my website. It's radio-joyonpaper.com. And I've been loading up some really great interviews, including interviews with Owen King, Stephen King's son, and Stephen King's daughter-in-law. Kelly Braffett. That was wonderful. And then, of course, I recently talked to Tom Straw, who is the real Castle. He wrote the books that Richard Castle was supposed to write in the series. And Tom is a wonderful, wonderful author. I put up his interview, and he is just, oh, it was so much fun to talk to him. I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed just chatting with him. And of course, he's delightful. He's delightful. And it comes through, and I can see why they picked him to write the Richard Castle books, because he has that attitude, sort of fun, romantic, and all of his books that he writes, not just the, now he's writing, of course, not Castle books, because Castle went off the air, which I don't know why, because it would be nice. I'm so tired of looking at all those little squares. There's nothing to watch. And I'm hoping that there's some really great series coming up soon, because I'm getting tired of looking at all those little squares on the, you know, those streaming stuff. So we're hoping, and I'm really hoping that, I'm getting a message. I see, you hear that? And I don't normally turn my phone on during this segment, but I don't know. I got a little scared here. Where is Julie? Because Julie's supposed to be calling in. You know, do you remember I used to get panicky? Do you remember I used to get panicky when people didn't call in?
Sure. We can pull up an old show and let them listen.
No. Don't worry. Ed, I can talk now for half an hour. I don't care. I mean, I'm really cool. It's really nifty. I can talk and talk and talk. But I think that she's going to call. She knows she's supposed to call. But, you know, what the heck? I don't know where she is. So I'm hoping that... I think she's called in right now. I hope so. Because this is a wonderful story. I've been wanting to talk to her. I don't think I gave you a backup number. Did I give you a backup number? Okay, we're waiting. We're waiting to see. Ed's looking hopeful. And I am just excited because it's always fun, you know, when I'm getting more and more relaxed about all these things that can happen. And now I have Julie Dow on the phone, right?
That's correct. Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Okay, Julie. Well, my goodness. You are so accomplished now that it's like, I don't know, you like should be 100 years old with all the stuff that you do. I don't know how you can be so young and have accomplished so much in your life. You're amazing. You are truly amazing.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
You are too kind.
And then you know, on top of everything else that you've done this, you've done that, you've done this, you have your own wonderful, you know, you've written your books, and then Disney comes along and says, oh, gee, would you like to do a book for us? What do you say to them?
I say absolutely, because as a Disney kid, this is the ultimate dream, right? Getting to write a fairy tale for Disney.
I mean, when you talk about dreams coming true, whoa. Oh, I mean, this is amazing.
It is. It absolutely is. I was flabbergasted when they came to me in 2018. So 2 years ago, I've had to keep this book a secret for 2 years. They came to my agent in 2018 and said that they had this innovative idea, this complete new concept about four different books written by four different authors, and they wanted me to join. And of course you say yes to a proposition like that.
Oh.
Of course you do.
Oh, yeah. So it's a four-book series, and it's called The Mirror, and all
correct. Yes.
Four books will be written by different authors, and you're writing... You wrote the first one. My goodness.
Wow. That's right. It's out in the world.
It's out in the world, and it's beautiful cover, a lovely cover. And
thank you.
Oh, and it's called Broken Wish. And the cover is is very nice. And tell us about the story. Now, I mean, how they presented to you, they said, okay, this is what we want to do. We want to send you back to Germany, and you're going to... Oh, okay. You're Vietnamese American, but we're sending you off to Germany to, right?
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect. Why not? What the heck?
Yeah. Right. Well, they presented it to me. They said we have this 4-book series that we have envisioned that all deal with a curse that spans multiple generations of the same family. And the first book, Broken Wish, begins with the ancestors of this family. And the reason that they found me is because back in 2017, I published my first book called Forest of 1,000 Lanterns. It is a fairy tale retelling of the Evil Queen, but in Asia. So I touched a bit on my cultural heritage there. But Disney saw that I enjoyed fairy tale retellings. I had some experience there. So they presented the first book to me. They said, this book is going to be set in a town called Hanau, Germany, which actually exists. It's first place of the Brothers Grimm.
The most disappointing, one of the most disappointing places I've ever been. Hanau.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. I went there in hope. Well, I lived in Europe and we traveled a lot. And I wanted, of course, to go the birthplace of the Brothers Grimm. It's a grim city. It's just terrible.
Really? Oh, that's so sad to hear.
Oh, it's awful. You don't want to go there. You want to go in your story. You don't want to go in the real one.
Right. Well, I did as much research as I could about this area in the 1800s, you know, and I'm imagining a fairy tale Germany where there's a lot of dark forests and there's witches hanging out in the woods and this rural area where people still cling to their rural traditions. And it's very pastoral. They're suspicious of people who are different and they're outsiders, people who might have magic, like my character.
Yes, and in your book, yes. And that's how we have to imagine it. Don't ever go there. People, don't ever go there. You will be so disappointed. It's an industrial city. It smells. I'm sorry, Germany. You have many wonderful cities, but that is not one of them. So you have to read Julie's book and go back in time.
Right. Well, Broken Wish was such a fun. It was a fun way of getting to go to Germany because, okay, all of these other books in the series take place in different time periods, in different settings. So the second book is going to be in Roaring 20s New Orleans. So Danielle Clayton, who's writing this book, actually went to New Orleans to do research. And then Jen Cervantes, who wrote the third book, it's going to be set in 1960 San Francisco. So she went to San Francisco, and everyone's going to these locations. And I'm like, I want to go to Germany.
No.
Of course I couldn't.
You didn't miss it. You didn't miss anything. Believe me. Believe me. You didn't miss anything. It was like, because I mean, one of the things that I did when I moved to Europe when I was 21, and I bought a house in England, and then I traveled all around. I wanted to go to all the birthplaces of, the reason I bought the house was because it was near Jane Austen's birthplace. And so I was obsessed, and I would go to all these birthplaces, and then you get to Hanau. You think, oh my gosh. Oh, yeah.
Did they have a Brothers Grimm statue?
They do have a statue, like, but it's pretty. Okay. It's actually pretty ugly. Even the statue is ugly. I mean, there's nothing in that town. So you're lucky they didn't send you there. But tell us about how. So you came out with. So they had this idea. Disney always has clever ideas. And then you had to sit down, as you said, you did research and you discovered in the 1800s it was nice place. It was a nice place. As we like to think. So you got the idea, right. And then how did you run with it?
Well, they presented me with a very loose outline, point A, point B, point C, and it was my job to connect this outline and make it a cohesive story that someone would actually hopefully want to read. And so it was really fun working from that basic outline that they had given me. And of course, because the other authors are writing about the descendants of my characters, there has to be some continuity between all of the books. So they and I got on Skype. We have this massive, long email and text chain of us just trying to figure out the magic system
and them giving me feedback on my characters, because everything that I write will impact their books along the way. I describe it as sort of me putting down the first domino in a game of dominoes, or alternately running a relay race. I would be running the first leg, and then once my book is over, I would pass the baton to the next author, Danielle, and then she would do the same. So it's quite an interesting concept, and I'm really excited about this series.
Well, if the rest is as good as this one, it's going to be a big hit, because it is.
Oh, thanks, Patsy.
Really, of course. I don't know, we have to talk about, I know you started to write when you were little, and somewhere along, I mean, you do. We sometimes hear about people who are born to write, and you definitely were. You just have a wonderful way with words. It's just wonderful. But tell us, so you laid out the story, you had the idea, and tell us about this curse. And tell us a little bit, just to intrigue people, so that they'll pick up this book, because it is it's interesting.
Well, thank you so much for your kind words, first of all, Patsy. You're so, so kind. This book is everything that a fairy tale fan could possibly want, because Disney's pitching it as a fractured fairy tale series. And what that means is, you know, when you think of a fairy tale, you think of the beautiful princess who needs to be saved, the handsome, brave prince, the evil witch or the evil stepmother or the queen or what have you. But what a fractured fairy tale is, it takes all of these archetypes, all of these fictional tropes, and it blends them in a way that you've never seen before. So it'll flip those tropes right on their head. You know, the princess might not always be good. The witch might not always be bad. So in Broken Wish, it's the tale of this girl who's 16 years old. Her name is Elva. Her family desperately wants to be respected and admired in their town for reasons that will be revealed. Her father has some skeletons in his closet. But unfortunately, as Elva grows up, she discovers that she has the beginnings of this strange, forbidden magical power. And in order to protect her family from what she sees coming, because her power involves seeing glimpses of the future and what she has seen is devastating, in order to protect her loved ones, she decides to venture off into the North Woods to find this legendary witch who is reputed to live there and who may be the only person who can help her.
And then it gets... I can tell you, there are so many little intriguing things that happen in this storyline. So you really did do some great research here.
Thank you so much. Yes, I read up about the lives of the Brothers Grimm, because part of the book takes place during their lifetime. And so I wanted to make sure, you know, what are they doing right now in this particular year? What are they doing? Can I bring them in somehow? Kind of a little cheeky reference to them being in the town, you know, drinking in the pub, collecting all these fairy tales for their own collections. And I also did a lot of research about Germany at that time, where it was situated politically. Even though most of that information doesn't usually make it into my books, I like to know that because it enriches the story, I think. It makes it feel a little bit more authentic for the reader.
Well, I think you accomplish that. You give it depth by knowing, even if you don't use it, by knowing things, there's a depth that comes to your writing, because you have this sense of the era, you have the sense of what things look like, and
right,
then it comes out on paper, and it's wonderful.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was a really fun experience, for sure.
Well, and how, what's the plan for the rest of the books? They're coming out how often?
So the second book, Shattered Midnight, the one that's set in Roaring Twenties New Orleans, that's coming out next fall. So I believe it's October, but don't quote me on that. I think it's next October, but it's definitely fall 2021. And then the third book is coming out, I believe, the following spring.
Okay.
And then finally, the fourth and last book. Yep, they're quite spread out. The fourth book is coming out in 2023.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Yeah. They're making us, they're really keeping us all excited here.
That's right.
Oh, well, I think you've done a great job. This is a wonderful start. And then while people, you will enjoy this book. And it's not, it's a fantasy. But, you know, you can't anymore say that it's for young adult or millennials read fantasies. Older women read fantasies and enjoy it. a very nice, of course, nice production value on it. And I think that, you know, this book, Broken Wish, the first in this series called The Mirror, inspired by Disney, created by Disney, and it's going to be someday... Well, you realize, of course, that it's going to be on the Disney Channel. My goodness, Julie, you're doing great. Well, you are doing great in general. Let's talk about. So, I want to tell everyone they can get this book. It's called A Broken Wish, and it's available wherever books are sold. And I'm sure there's a Disney website that people who are like Disney diehard fans, they go to it all the time anyway. But it is available wherever books are sold. But then let's talk a few minutes about you. I have some time and I want to talk about you because, whoa, you have been like turning out wonderful books yourself in other, just your own ideas. So tell us a little bit about yourself first and then about your where you started. What was the very first thing you sold? Huh, yeah, I never asked that. I never ask people that, really, but I'm going to ask you. I mean, what was the first?
No problem. Well, I feel very flattered, Patsy, that you asked that. Broken Wish is actually my fourth novel, which I can't believe I'm saying right now, because a few years ago I was struggling just to get noticed by publishing. You know, it's a very difficult industry to break into because there are so many stories. There's so many people out there who want to put books into the world. So I'm very grateful that I got this opportunity. My first book that I published was back in 2017, and it's called Forest of a Thousand Lanterns. It's actually another fairy tale retelling, and that's how Disney heard about me, because I had retold the story of Snow White, but set it in a fantasy Asia. Because as a Vietnamese American, I was born in New York, but my heritage is Vietnamese. My parents immigrated over in the mid 70s. As someone who was born in the West, but has these Eastern sensibilities, was raised with these Eastern values, you know, I really wanted to see more stories out there that were familiar to me, that I could relate to. Definitely as a child, I was missing seeing heroes who looked like me in books and movies and TV. And so when I got this opportunity to publish my first novel, I knew that I wanted to sort of marry that East and West influence in my life and have a Western fairy tale that people know very well, Snow White, set in a completely different culture, because I think there's just such a wealth of mythology, a wealth of stories globally, all over the world, and it's such a disservice to not tap into those stories as well and bring them to the forefront. So A Forest of a Thousand Lanterns was an absolute joy to write because it was challenging. I was writing from the perspective of a villainess, someone who is not good, someone who does not make morally correct choices. But it was fascinating to me because I find that oftentimes in fairy tales, women are relegated to very flat character archetypes. And being able to give all of the nuances of human nature to these women in my stories was a true honor and something that I have always wanted to do in my storytelling. So the following year after Forest of a Thousand Lanterns published, I came out with the sequel, Kingdom of the Blazing Phoenix, which is about the Snow White character, the stepdaughter of this evil queen that you've met in the first book, and she has been exiled to a monastery far from her land. She decides to come back and reclaim her empire with an army. The year after that, I published my third novel, Song of the Crimson Flower, which is, it draws inspiration from my Vietnamese heritage. My mom used to tell me this beautiful, tragic love story about a boatman whose music wins over this princess in a tower nearby listening to him play. But when she meets him in person, she decides, oh, no, I don't really love him. He's just a fisherman, and she breaks his heart. And it's this tragic folktale that I decided to spin for a modern audience. So those have been my books thus far. I've been a little bit busy, Patsy, as you can see.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Once you just find that joy on paper that I'm always talking about, mm-hmm. you can't stop, that's for sure.
That's right. And I love the name of your show because it's very much, it describes my career. It's joy on paper. This is what I love to do. This is what I have always loved to do as a child, you know, and it's such a joy to share these stories and to know that they're getting out there And even though I feel like young adult is a category that all people can read because it's pertinent to all people from all walks of life, doesn't matter how old you are, because young adult is about discovery. It's about people on the cusp of who they're going to become one day. And I just feel like there's so much joy in that discovery. And I'm really, really happy that I get to pursue this dream job as my career.
I agree. It's just, it's wonderful. And that you've, you know, you sort of just came out with these ideas, very original ideas for your books. And then that Disney would grab onto you and see the talent and just make you part of this wonderful new series. And I think that it's, you know, I was just talking, the first half hour I interviewed somebody from National Geographic, and they wrote a book called Girls Can. And it's a book about all the things that, you know, girls should know that they can accomplish anything. And it's a book filled with stories about all sorts of famous women doing all sorts of, you know, wonderful work, whether it was, you know, becoming a ballet dancer or a CEO of a company. Women can do everything. And you, of course, by becoming now, I mean, you are on a major career path here. A big arc has is formed here by becoming associated with Disney and knowing that in the future, you know, your words, at least some of them, because, you know, when they make the film, they cut out a lot of the words. That's one of the things you'll learn. But some of your words are going to be there. Now, what about an audible version of this book? Has that
I believe there will be an audiobook. Yes, I haven't heard much about it, but I'm sure there will be a version, and I will let people know on my website if that comes to life.
Okay. Well, where can people see more about you than once they finish this book, Broken Wish, the first in the Mirror series, what's your website?
My website is juliedao.com, and Dao is D-A-O.
D-A-O.
And you can also find me on social media. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Julie C. Dow.
Okay. Well, Julie, I think you have done an amazing job with this story. It's exciting, and I know that there's going to be many, many more. And so, you know, I'm always in awe of somebody who, at your age, has accomplished so much. It took me a long time. I think it's wonderful. And, you know, I was talking to Mary Higgins Clark shortly before she passed away. And, you know, she made it to 89 and was still writing. And that's a wonderful thing about writing, isn't it? That you can keep going and you can go on a different trajectory. You're doing one type now and you can do something else, another series later on. And there's so many possibilities, but it's the idea of discipline, because writing is a discipline, isn't it?
It really is. It is. It's all about willpower, about sitting down. A lot of people want to write a book. A lot of people have a story that they feel is important that they want to tell, but it's only a small subset of people who can really sit down and commit to the page, because it takes time, it takes effort, and it takes all you've got. So that's where the joy comes in. That's where you have to find the joy, because that's what gets your words out on paper.
And I bet your mom always told you you could do it.
She and my dad weren't so supportive about writing when I was younger, actually, because they didn't think it was a lucrative career. But my mom is so supportive now. She's so happy because she sees how happy this makes me. And she knows that this is what I feel I was meant to do. And so she's very, very proud. I love her so much.
Okay. Well, and when she sees your work on the Disney Channel, boy, oh boy, oh boy, this is going to be a fantastic time. Well, I hope that you'll come back when you have another book. I'm sure you're going to have another book coming out soon. One of your own original ideas, right? Something soon?
I would hope so we'll see.
Okay.
Time will tell.
Well, make sure that I'm on your publisher's list and that I get a copy early, because I love getting books before everybody else. This is the fun part
Absolutely,
of my job.
Patsy.
I get books months ahead of everybody else. And so
what a great perk.
Yeah, it is a great perk. And a great perk is to be able to talk to you today. And I think it's just wonderful. Julie Dow, you did a great job, and I look forward to having you back on the program soon, okay? Next pub day.
Thank you so much, Patsy. Absolutely. You're so lovely. Thank you for talking to me.
Thank you. Bye-bye now, Julie. Bye.
Bye. Oh,
what a doll. She's sweet. That's life. Isn't it wonderful? What I'm telling all of you people, read, 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 write, write, write. Just have some fun in your life. My goodness, my goodness. It's just so much fun. I just love, when I was reading this book, you know, girls can, yeah. Guys can too, you all can. You can all write a book. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? If you need more inspiration, go to my webpage, radio-joyonpaper.com, and listen to some of the interviews. Some of the authors, I mean, goodness gracious, they were writing, like they wrote and then they stopped writing for 10 years and they put their book in the drawer and they didn't do anything with it. And then 10 years later, and another author, 20 years later, 20 years. And I met a guy recently, well, not recently, but I seems like it was yesterday, on my last trip to New York. And he had a book 30 years in his desk drawer and at home, and he hadn't done anything with it. And I think I convinced him to pull it out and start working on it, because I did hear from him not too long ago, and he was thanking me that yes, finally he's decided he should do something. Yes, you could and you should. And so it's just, and all of you out there, it's possible. Things are possible. And we just get through all this pandemic-y thing, and we can start getting out there again and meeting people and going to book fairs and book conventions. And there's all sorts of possibilities out there for you if you have a book to promote. But if you don't have a book to promote, what are you going to do? So it's up to you. And I'm just, again, want to thank everybody for the emails I've been getting, and I appreciate everything. A special hello to my son up north. I think he has 45 degrees weather today. Oh my goodness, 45 degrees. And he can send a little bit down here, because we've had, I think, 90 plus every day. I don't know, for months. The months have all sort of blended in with everything. But I'm ready for a little cool weather already, so I'm hoping that he'll send me some. And I'll send him a kiss, and he can send me some cold weather. And meanwhile, remember what I always tell everyone. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book. Or if you are very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel, or even on the Disney Channel. You never know, because Disney might come knocking. But it won't come knocking unless you have a book that they like. So get out there and start writing. National Novel Writing Month is coming up. That's in November. Check it out. Go online. National Novel Writing Month. Sign up. And you can write a book in 1 month. 50,000 words. My beautiful goddaughter's done it. I don't know how many times. 3 times. 4 times. Oh, she's always doing that. Anyway, she's fantastic. And she's going to get married. This is so exciting. I'm so thrilled. Anyway, say something nice to somebody today. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed. Thank you for everything. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Everything's smelly here like Clorox number 5. Bye-bye now. Everyone, again.